welcome to this, the 22nd and final episode of the fifth season of the Ubuntu UK podcast. We are going to do a number of things in tonight's show. Apart from being attacked by cats, we are going to discuss our predictions that we made for 2012 in our last episode of the last season to see what we got right, and we're going to make our predictions for 2013. And then it'll be time for our Christmas play. We will, of course, cover the latest news, a bit about Ubuntu. We will have a preview, a forthcoming documentary about Tomorrow's Technology Today, with thanks to Robin Catling and Victoria Pritchard for keeping us entertained with Tomorrow's Technology Today throughout the season. And as if that wasn't enough, everybody, we also have some of your feedback. If you're listening live, you can send us messages and abuse using the chat facility on the website and in the IRC channel. I am Tony, and joining me for tonight's finale of this season are Laura.
Hello.
Mark.
Hello.
And Alan.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, Alan. Alan, would you like to tell us what you've been up to recently?
I switched off Adblock on all my machines. I read an article somewhere that said that people who use Adblock are evil, and so I thought I'd turn it off and see if I could survive with Adblock switched off.
I read a similar article and tried the same thing, and I lasted a while, but then I went to a page which had a video with sound which was halfway down the page and started playing as soon as I went to the page. And so I had to go hunting for it, and I got very angry.
Was it YouTube?
No. This was a page about something completely different, which had an advert for Airwick, the air fresheners. And
they've just spoilt it for everyone else.
Yeah, basically. Yes. So I've now got Adblock, but I've got the option to allow non-intrusive adverts on to give people a chance.
So I think the most annoying adverts that I've now discovered exist are the pre-roll videos on YouTube.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They just annoy me so much.
I didn't realise that Adblock blocked those.
No, I didn't.
No.
Yeah, so I'll see how long I go, and maybe if by the start of the next season, if we do one, I'm still using Adblock, then I'll let you know.
I remember reading an article that said that people that don't give me £10 notes on a regular basis are evil. So
I haven't read that article.
Right. But he has given me a £10 note tonight.
Oh, have you? Really? Yeah. What's that about?
Never you mind.
Okay. All right, Laura, what have you been up to then? As in,
accepting money from strangers.
I got a new ThinkPad for work.
Ooh.
That's it, really. I saw it for about 10 minutes before I had to put it in my cupboard and get on with work.
Oh. Does it smell new?
Yeah, and it's all shiny.
So is this a laptop for you, or is it a laptop for
work?
For work.
It's work's laptop for work.
But you had other work to do at work, so you can...
I had to use my old laptop to carry on doing the work I was meant to be doing.
You know what you should treasure about this moment with your ThinkPad?
Mm-hmm.
Is treasure the fact that you don't have dust in these little crevices at the edge of the keyboard.
Alan points to ThinkPad.
I have all these little dusty crevices on my laptop. Aww. And I hate it.
I'll watch out for those dusty crevices then.
Right. There we go. Mark, moving swiftly along.
I've been reading a book or ebook.
Oh. Congratulations.
Physical, book or one. Ebook?
No,
which is it?
It's a story in the form of an ebook. It's a novel. It's the third in a trilogy by a guy called Stephen Sweeney, who I originally came across because he wrote a game called Blob Wars, which was an open source game which you could get on Linux. It was reviewed in Linux format and a few other places. It's quite good. It's like a platform shooty thing where your character is a little yellow smiley face guy with guns. And yeah, he's now in his spare time, instead of writing open source games, he's an author and writes sci-fi novels, and they're pretty damn good. So he releases them all DRM free as well. So if you go to battleforthesolarsystem.com, I think it is, you can buy them there.
Awesome.
That sounds quite cool.
Yeah. I would recommend them to anyone who likes sci-fi, especially if you like sort of space opera, Star Trek, Stargate type stuff.
Right, cool.
What about you, Tony? What have you been up to?
You might remember in the last episode I told you about the Nexus 4 phone that I had just ordered.
No, I didn't.
Have you got it? I've been playing with it, and you're going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, are you going to review it?
It's right here. Look at that.
No.
Oh, wow. Oh, it's a lot bigger than I thought.
Well, yes, indeed. That's my thought.
It arrives tomorrow, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it
hasn't turned up yet. 2 weeks. Google have had something of a nightmare with shipping this thing. Apparently, they didn't anticipate that people might want to buy a relatively inexpensive phone in vast quantities just before Christmas.
That's it.
So there are lots of people who won't get theirs till after Christmas, but mine hopefully will arrive tomorrow, and I shall enjoy playing
with it. Keep you busy, won't it?
It will, although I've just remembered that I don't actually have a SIM card of the appropriate size to fit in it.
You got a pair of scissors?
Yeah, I've seen those videos on YouTube where you take a pair of scissors to your SIM card.
My brother did that and it didn't work, he did find a person who you can pay to do it for you, and it works a lot better.
Yeah, most of those little phone shops you get in out here in the sticks.
Yeah, can't move for those around here.
I cut mine down in my phone, and yeah, works fine.
Okay,
yeah. I'll do it for you.
Yeah, right. Okay. There we go. So let's crack on with this show.
This time last year, we made some predictions about open source and Ubuntu in the year. And now we're going to find out just how right or wrong we were.
I know we're on the wrong side.
So first up was, mine, which we rather optimistically suggested that projects that are going after mainstream market share will realise that they need to be more innovative with regards to the user experience to be competitive. Now, I actually think sort of in that things like Unity and that are trying to... Well, I guess it's a bit Mac-like.
GIMP now has single window mode.
Ah, yes, they listen.
But that's, you said that they were going to stop trying to match closed source products and be better than them, whereas that is just trying to be more like Photoshop.
Yeah.
So what are you saying to that? A yes or a no?
No.
I'd say
in general, no.
I wasn't seeing that coming.
That was quite loud.
Right, next up.
Alan.
Mine. I said Canonical will have 700 employees. At the time, it was 492, and now it's just shy of 600. So, no.
Oh.
No
points for Alan.
I also said a big name OEM will be shipping Ubuntu laptops, which will be easy to discover on their website and will provide direct support for them. I think you'll find Dell sell.
Right, I'm going to go to Dell.co.uk.
No, because that's not there.
I'm going to go to somewhere.
Oh no, sorry. This is the Dell UK official website. You said through their website.
I'm going to go to somewhere that doesn't sell this product and then complain that I can't find it.
Okay. That seems fair.
Dell.com.
To be fair, Alan was very region non-specific
in his prediction.
So I think we have to give him that one. There we are. Do you remember these effects?
It's like
now?
The quiz.
Yes.
Mark.
Hello. Right, I predicted that someone will write an open source H.264 plugin for Firefox and HTML5 video will standardize to that.
Oh, that's... I think you're kind of there, aren't
that's,
you?
I did say it would be nothing to do with Mozilla, which isn't quite what's happened. What's happened is Mozilla have supported the open source codecs that already exist.
I think that's good enough.
I think that's good enough myself.
Teach you to be specific.
Yeah. Okay. Be more vague next time.
Yes. I also said that Linux Mint will make a change to its desktop, which a vocal group of users will disagree with. I don't know if that's happened. I don't pay any attention to the Linux Mint community.
Let's say that happened.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I've got the wrong effect queued up then.
Oh, well, okay.
There we go. Right, and then there's me.
And what did you say?
Are you queuing up your...
You could queue up any effect, couldn't they, and then just pretend.
I said I predict that we're going to make some more predictions next Christmas. Which has proven correct. I predict that ButterFS will become the default file system in at least one distro.
SUSE.
Did it?
Yes.
Really? The one that I was watching Fedora, but...
It hasn't. They've said they think it's ready for prime time. It hasn't actually shipped.
Okay, yet. So that's a
maybe
no.
Maybe we can say that
that's
next year then.
I mean, it's a half really, but it's a no.
It's a no.
Okay, and I said Ubuntu One will start a video streaming service. Mm.
I don't think we've done that.
No, there's video stuff in the works and sort of you can get videos through the dashboard now through Amazon.
No, still no.
Okay, go on then.
But interestingly, the year before in 2011, I said that cloud-powered laptop OSs would fail to take off, and I was right, but that's changed this year with Chrome OS laptops being widely available and desirable.
They do look rather nice.
Yeah.
And people are buying them, you know, they seem to be buying quite a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So, and they're available in, like, you know, your average computer shop. Similarly, so that was a one that was right that is now wrong.
Okay.
You've got to do no.
Yeah.
And Mark, in 2011, said a mainstream major app like Photoshop would be available in Ubuntu Software Center, which wasn't true at the end of 2011, but now we have Steam and lots of games, which Mark also alluded to when he said it.
Photoshop still notably not available.
Oh, well. And, yeah, okay, to be fair to Alan, I have just gone onto the Dell website. If you click on laptops and you go down to the XPS section, it under the XPS 13, it does include a link to the Ubuntu version, so...
It's findable.
Maybe I was a bit too harsh.
Okay.
So we've got some predictions for 2013. Yes. 2013.
Which, given our performance in the last year, are probably not worth listening to.
So give it a go.
Skip on the next 10 minutes.
So, Alan.
So I predict there'll be an Ubuntu phone available to buy in shops in at least one large Western country. This year sometime.
Are you using insider knowledge to make this prediction?
No.
I think this is unfair.
No.
Okay.
Just keep saying no.
No. We'll believe you.
We shall see.
Okay. Well, yeah, we will see.
But
I specifically said one large Western country.
So,
meaning not India or China or somewhere, you know, really tiny and insignificant. Like, I don't know. I've got to try and think of a country.
You're not saying that China or India are tiny and insignificant.
No, I said China or India or somewhere insignificant.
Okay. Yes.
Get out of that one. I then predict after the work done to get Ubuntu on the Nexus 7, 13.04 will be released and will be measurably and anecdotally faster, more stable and more power efficient than previous releases. No new features will land after feature freeze in 13.04 and 13.10. Yeah, I'm not entirely confident about that one.
But hopefully it will matter less because the new testing stuff that's being done will make everything more stable before it lands.
And finally, the number of Linux games on Steam will increase from 1.8% of the total to 20% by the end of 2013. So for reference, there are 1,814 Windows games in Steam, 336 OS X games and 34 Linux games. So 18% OS X, 1.8% Linux.
So you're saying there'll be a just shy of 400 Linux games?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, the number overall will go up as well by the end of next year. The total number will go up, but Linux will jump by...
Quite a lot.
Quite a lot, yes.
How confident are you about that, then?
I'm pretty confident. I think that one is definite. That's a no-brainer. By the end of next year, there'll be loads of games in Steam.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Okay.
What about you, then, Tony?
Well, I have three massive predictions to make. The first is that Adobe will make Creative Suite, or just Photoshop, maybe, are able to run on Linux.
I notice your very careful wording there. Yes. Do you mean Underwine?
Potentially.
Because it already runs Underwine.
Well,
I run it on VMware Linux.
Well, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. But sort of some sort of... They will release something.
Right.
Either as a extension or... A kind of toe-in-the-water thing. So they'll either bundle an official supported Wine version, or they will do something that enable people to run another binary version, natively.
Mm-hmm.
Some sort of toe-in-the-water thing, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not very confident about that, but that's... I predict will happen.
Okay.
The second one, you will have to watch a 30-second advert when you log into or unlock Ubuntu. Or you pay a premium for an ad-free version of Ubuntu.
Or download a version where someone took that out before they compiled it.
Yeah.
That's dialing the evil right up, that is.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, Canonical are essentially now an advertising company, so...
right.
Next Google.
It is a logical evolution of, you know, where we're going to go next.
Okay.
And you won't be able to skip it either, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on, next one. give that one the credence it deserves.
It deserves credence. And the third one is that Nokia will ditch Windows or go bust. By go bust, I potentially also mean, you know, get swallowed up by some company who just take all the IP and troll around with it.
And specifically, get swallowed up by some other company. What if that other company is Microsoft? Does that count?
No, because I don't...
It's got small print now.
Yeah.
God.
I haven't really gone into this much depth.
Well, after Mark wasn't specific enough.
I was too specific. Don't fall into this trap, Tony.
Yeah, just be vague.
Don't let him lead you.
He's tricking you.
It's fine. I don't think Microsoft would buy Nokia.
Okay, good. So Microsoft won't buy Nokia. Nokia will ditch Windows, or they'll go completely bust.
Yeah. Or both.
Okay, just to be clear. So yeah, when I listen back later, right, yes, that's what it will
be. Okay, right, yes.
In a year's time.
Sounds good. Laura.
Dell will stop shipping Windows pre-installed at all in favour of Ubuntu and selected other Linux distributions.
I thought you were going to say in favour of OS 2 for a minute.
No, Ubuntu. Huh?
Of course.
Well, yes, that's certainly very optimistic.
And selected other Linux distributions. Mm. It's a bit, the vagueness turned up there then.
Yeah.
John O'Bacon will get an iPhone and will start writing music apps for it.
Right.
I could see that coming. Yes.
Is this Jacosha for iOS?
Yeah, iJacosha.
iJacosha. Oh, no, that it won't just be music apps. There'll be a John O'Bacon app, won't there?
Yeah.
In the iTunes store.
And there'll just be one...
Is it one button, and when you press it, it says community.
Yes. John O'Bacon soundboard. community.
Please, somebody make that happen.
Well, we know someone who now has an iPhone who can write apps.
That's totally going to happen.
And Mark Shuttleworth will appear on Dancing on Ice in a bid to get mainstream recognition for Ubuntu on tablet/mobile phone/TV/microwave/fridge.
Yes.
I would love to see this.
Yeah, I want to see that as well.
Quite amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can skate, but...
That doesn't matter.
Stop most of the others.
No, that's
there.
True. That would be awesome.
I'd like to see him in a spray tan and Lycra.
Okay,
that's what they do on the show. I wasn't just specific.
Okay,
about
that was a personal thing. Do you want to add that to your list of predictions for next year?
No.
Little wish. Okay, Mark, go for it.
Okay, I think that the Amazon search will be removed from the Dash Home Lens by default, although it will still be available as its own lens or as an opt-in option, and that RMS still won't be happy.
Well, that's an easy one. RMS, you can put RMS still won't be happy as a separate prediction, and that will always be true.
I think that Windows 8 will fail to get much traction, and the remaining people who are currently hanging on to XP will upgrade to 7 and stay there.
I think that's a good call. Well, I'm not sure the people who are currently on XP can get 7, unless they're a corporate, but I think it's a good call.
That's the kind of people I was thinking.
Right. I think lots of people will skip 8.
I think actually Microsoft will make it harder, because they've realised they learnt from the fact that everyone stayed on XP. I think they've learned from that, and they will make it really hard for you to go to Windows 7 and not 8.
You can actually bet both ways on this, because corporates will go to 7, and non-corporates won't be allowed to do anything but 8.
Or maybe they'll go to Ubuntu instead. That's not part of my prediction.
I am not predicting hedging the success of Ubuntu.
On the Ubuntu podcast, yes.
And I also predict that one AAA game title, will be released simultaneously on... cross-platform, including Linux, and that Linux will be Ubuntu 10.04.
What do you mean by
10.04?
Sorry, no, 12.04. I can't read my own writing.
What do you mean by triple A?
Something like one of the really big titles that, you know, gets like huge marketing, TV adverts, something like, you know, something you all have heard of, Tony.
Duke Nukem.
There it is. We also had some predictions from the community. Should we just go round robin and pick a few out?
Why not?
Yeah.
So one anonymous person contacted me on IRC, so I know exactly who they are. They're not anonymous. and his prediction, or her prediction, will be Canonical will fold in 2013.
Oh.
Interesting. Carry on.
Let's hope not, for Alan's sake. Tommy Brunn via Google Plus said that Steambox is released and has moderate success. We'll see a lot more not quite AAA games released for Linux, mostly thanks to the Unity engine and Steam being available. There still won't be a Linux-powered tablet, apart from Android, to rival those currently in the market. Same goes for smartphones, again, not counting Android. He seems to be dismissing Android quite heavily.
Just so that people don't think when he says Linux-powered tablet, right, they don't think
he's doing that small print thing again.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Canonical continue to receive flack whenever they do anything.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
That's
good call.
There will be a few competitive offers for specific types of laptops with Linux pre-installed, but overall, you'll either still have to settle with middling specs or pay a bit extra. Those are my predictions. I hope I'm wrong.
Except for the first one.
Yeah, interesting selection. Again, the games thing seems to be quite big.
Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, he doesn't think that there'll be a AAA title. He just thinks the
little indie games, the Humble Bundle styles,
right,
the smaller games.
So he directly disagrees with you then, Mark?
Yes.
We shall see who's right.
It's a smackdown.
He's in Sweden. It's all right.
At least two people, CM Ressington on Twitter and Aid Bradshaw, predict that 2013 will be the year of the Linux on the desktop.
Moving on.
John, the nice guy Spriggs, predicts that OgCamp will occur, featuring a live show where there is a person running around with a microphone. Depending on where and when it is, he might even volunteer to be that runner.
Ooh. It could happen.
Could do.
Paul Tansom via Google Plus predicts a big announcement from Canonical in January.
Does Paul Tansom work for Canonical?
Very specific. No, he now works for Allen and Allen. Libertas.
Are they making him change his name?
Yes.
The Sorry? Chicken company.
Are they making him change his name?
To Allen.
I had a strange dream.
You don't have to be called.
We don't want to know.
Here.
Was it Mark Spraytan?
It was Alan Bell as an assassin. Killing chickens. Because he has chickens.
I know.
Wow.
He had like a... He was like James Bond. Anyway.
James Bond never killed chickens.
Well, you know, if James Bond had killed chickens and looked like Alan Bell. Any more predictions? Kim Rasmussen predicted that Alan Pope will be running up lots of stairs at the next Og camp, which, you know, seems likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we have anything to do with it.
Mm.
There we go. Any more?
I think that's it.
Okay. Those are our predictions.
Thank you very much for sending yours in, yes. Community people.
Come back next year to find out if we're right.
And if you're right.
Assuming there's a show.
It's time for the news. Version 1.0 of SparkleShare, an open source folder synchronization tool based on the Git version control system, has been released. After 3 years of development, all known major bugs have been fixed and the system should be ready for day-to-day usage.
That's good news.
Yes, it is.
Basically an alternative to Dropbox.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Ubuntu 1.
All of those kind of file storage-y things. OwnCloud. No, not OwnCloud.
Yeah, OwnCloud can do it.
Bits of OwnCloud, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, because it's based on Git, it's if you're working on, like, if you're doing a development project with someone, it's quite handy because it means that you can edit a bit of a file and save it and it'll sync to their version of it and they can be running the same code as you. Mm. But you could also use it for other files as well.
Well, I have a play with that over Christmas on my home server, actually.
Mm. Mm, cool, let us know how it goes.
Mm.
Following on from our news item about crowdfunding in the last episode, an Indiegogo fundraiser has been launched for Software Wars, an independent film about the software industry and the rise of free and open source software. The current trailer for the film features interviews with Linus Torvalds and the internet's Jono Bacon. The project is seeking $150,000 of funding to complete the film.
Wow. That's how much have they got so far?
2,000.
Yes.
And that's Jono Bacon, as seen in Don't Listen Alone.
Mm. Yeah.
In fact...
I did a documentary featuring Jono Bacon for no money at all.
Fool. I had a look at the Indiegogo, and actually some of the clips date back to, like, June last year. So it looks like some of the clips were made, and, you know, they've been sitting around, and I think... They basically want the money to finish it, I think, is the requirement there.
Good luck.
Ooh.
Andrew Bunny Huang has posted details of an open laptop design. The current design features a micro SD interface for storing boot firmware, a Raspberry Pi compatible input-output interface, and a separate board dedicated to power management to maximise the design's flexibility alongside the standard laptop fare. The project was started in June, and the current prototype motherboards are reported to boot Linux successfully.
And these are ARM-based, aren't they?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it looks quite cool.
He's got a history of building wacky, interesting hardware devices, so it's a good takeoff. Keep an eye on it.
The Raspberry Pi Foundation, in collaboration with IndieCity and Velocix, have launched the Pi Store, an app store to distribute software that runs on the low-cost computer. The client for the store is included in the official system image or can be installed through apt on unofficial builds and includes some titles exclusive to the Pi.
Do you know what's annoying about this? We mentioned a little while ago that IndieCity were making a Linux version of their store so that on a Linux desktop you could install software from their store.
Mm.
And they appear to have made one, but for the Raspberry Pi and not for general Linux desktops.
So what would happen if you installed it on...
With ARM, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, maybe this is just their first sort of specific experiment.
Maybe that was the client that they talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yes. Users of the XDA Developers Forum have uncovered a vulnerability in some Samsung devices.
Wow. Oh dear, oh dear.
How much brandy butter have you had?
I think it's the mulled wine. In some Samsung devices running Android, allowing malicious software to gain root access without seeking permission, potentially giving it complete control of the device.
That's quite scary.
That's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like there's a bit of a brouhaha, people pointing the finger at Samsung for being daft, and you know, that whoever developed this was just not thinking straight. And
so is it a modification that Samsung have made to Android that's introduced the vulnerability?
Something to do with their kernel.
It's the way it maps memory. You know, the /dev/mem thing.
Oh,
the way Linux gets to memory. Well, they've kind of forked that and changed that a bit, and in the way that they forked it, they've made it so that everything has full permission over the whole of the memory of the device, through that device.
All your phone are belong to us.
To Samsung.
To Samsung. Yes. Oh, is that the implication that they've...
Well, anyway, I mean, it means that the devices are easily rootable, but it means that a malicious app could just stomp all over your RAM or get information from other apps running, like, you know, the browser that you were using to log on to your bank, or, you know, your password store app, or, you know, any one of a number of things.
Not good.
No.
But that's the end of the news.
Hello, I'm the famous television historian Fergus Campbell Finlay Fraser MacDonald MacGregor, from the popular archaeology show Where Did You Dig That Up? And this is an extract from my forthcoming documentary about the radio show Tomorrow's Technology Today. Many people regard Tomorrow's Technology Today as an insignificant blip in British broadcasting history, but I don't. So I called my good friend, Stuart Farquhar, to agree with me.
Oh yes, Tomorrow's Technology Today was a very significant programme in the early days of British broadcasting.
Key to the success of the show was the chemistry, or lack of it, between the co-hosts, the dilettante, and some say congenitally stupid, Douglas Austin Cambridge, and the highly intellectual physics graduate, Deirdre Morris Oxford.
Dreadful man, utterly appalling, a drunk, philanderer, sexual predator, totally ignorant of anything scientific, and utterly contemptuous of anything remotely resembling effect. He was a kid. I dare say he was overqualified for broadcasting.
What also made Tomorrow's Technology Today remarkable was the use of vox pop recordings of the public. Chimney sweep George Lampson was interviewed for one of the early episodes.
Yes, sir. They asked me what I thought of all sorts of newfangled inventions.
Why did they choose you?
They wanted the opinions of the average man in the street.
What did you tell them?
That I didn't have any.
And that brought your involvement with the show to an abrupt end?
No. My involvement with the show came to an abrupt end when I was run over by the motor car of the Home Secretary. I told them standing in the middle of the street was a crap idea.
The programme was halted abruptly by the outbreak of World War II, when the War Office decided many military technical developments might be leaked over the airwaves.
Just what are you researching?
By enclosing fissionable heavy elements in a combustible sphere to produce a chain reaction, we are attempting to construct a submolecular implosive explosive device.
You mean an atomic bomb?
That's a gross oversimplification. Yes.
Douglas Austin Cambridge failed 7 medicals and never served in the military. It's thought he spent the duration of the war in a basement nightclub in London, Soho. After the war, he received a doctorate for his contribution to science and served as Vice-Chancellor at Trinity College, Cambridge. Here he is, being interviewed about the programme in 1978.
Radio show? Oh yes. Marvellous. Jimmy Young, David Jacobs, Terry Wogan. Marvellous. Me? Oh no. I don't think so. Memory. Pin sharp, you see.
And you recorded a show years ago.
Did I? Did I really? How splendid. What was it about?
Deirdre Morris Oxford flew delivery flights of Spitfires and Hurricanes from the Vickers factory to RAF bases all over Britain, becoming the first female pilot to shoot down enemy aircraft, two fighters, a bomber, and the plane-carrying American big band leader Glenn Miller. After the war, she served as scientific advisor to the first Labour government, but eventually defected to Soviet Russia during the Cold War, where she proceeded to terrify the life out of Nikita Khrushchev and the rest of the Politburo.
Never mind the box, it's a theoretical model.
Oh, it's a stuffed cat, I see. No, I don't. Why would you poison a stuffed cat?
Ugh!
Tomorrow's Technology Today ran from 1936 to 1939, but only a handful of episodes have survived, thanks to the Herbert Maxwell Fosdyke Curmudgeon Memorial Archive.
I don't see what a poisoned pussy has to do with teleportation, Deirdre. After all, if you want to send a cat somewhere, you send a boy round with it on a bicycle.
If you'd like to hear the rest of this documentary, we'll be streaming it on demand for a very modest fee. All major credit cards accepted.
You see, Deirdre, all this talk of stuffed cats, and now we've run out of time. That's all for tomorrow's Technology Today. Toodlepip and God Save the King.
Yes, yes, Merry Christmas. Here's some meow meow, now get lost. Dear oh dear, the nerve of it. They only knew one verse. Didn't stop them singing it four times, though. I admire their stamina. Right, I can't put it off anymore. I've got to write the sketch for the Christmas episode. Let me see. Typewriter, tea, cake. All set. Now I know how the great writers feel when they sit down to create a new literary masterpiece. Agatha Christie and Geoffrey Archer, all the bigwigs. Right, here we go then. Eyes down for a full house. The Ubuntu UK Podcast Christmas Special. Now, what to write about? What's the plot going to be? Oh, yeah, that's it. Oh, that's good. That's very funny. I can just see Alan doing that. With the chicken. No, that's not going to work. It's not exactly family-friendly. Or chicken-friendly. I suppose I should start at the beginning. Dramatis personae. Oh, of all the...
Hiya!
Oh, it's you. I'm trying to write the sketch for the Christmas episode. What do you want?
That's a cheek. I'm the only reason people listen to that squally little podcast. You might think it's all about the content, but we both know that those geeks just want to hear my hot British accent.
One email. We had one email. You haven't stopped going on about it since.
I'll have you know I'm very much in demand. Other podcasts have been in touch. Apparently they need a new host on Linux Outlaws, now that Fab has become all reasonable.
Fab? Reasonable? Ugh.
Now look, you better make sure that this sketch has a good part in it for me. I don't just want to be some token girl shoved in there to make you boys look more inclusive, you know.
Okay. Anything particular in mind?
I want to do a song.
Any particular song? Or shall I just pick something from the extensive back catalogue of public domain or Creative Commons licensed popular hits?
I have a little something in mind. Something I've been working on. a 15-verse arrhythmic biography of Simone de Beauvoir, with a backing track played entirely on recycled milk cartons.
Oh, yes, that'll get him tuning in. Anything else, perhaps? Your own dressing room, filled with white roses and blue M&Ms, and a view of the Sahara, with herds of pangolins sweeping precisely across it?
Sarcasm's very unbecoming, you know. Just make sure I'm the star, not those other two. Remember, it's not for my benefit. We're only giving the public what they want.
Yes, OK, whatever you say. Now, if you don't mind, you're disturbing me. It's not easy creating a work of literature, you know.
Creating literature? You? You can barely spell your own name. The most creative thing you've ever written's a note to the milkman.
I don't have to stand here and be harassed in my own house.
Of course not. You can sit down if you like. There's a nasty draught in here. I need to keep my voice in good shape. I'd better go and find somewhere warmer.
Right, where was I? Ah, yes. Dramatis personae.
Knock, knock!
Oh, for the love of...
Fret not, Alan is here, with a spring in his step and a bulging sack of technological goodies. Do you know, Alan has had the most amazing idea for the Christmas episode. We should have a sketch, something funny. What are you up to?
I'm trying to write a sketch for the Christmas episode.
Ah.
Only every time I sit down to start it, some great airy mush comes through the door.
Oh, that must be awful for you. Never mind, at least Alan's here now. Let's see what you've got so far. Dramate. I don't think much of it so far. Not exactly J.K. Rowling, are you? Still, I can't say I'm surprised. The last time you wrote the podcast Christmas sketch, we got two emails in response. One writing to complain about the accents, and the other asking for their money back. And you were supposed to finish this weeks ago.
I know, it's just, well...
You've been hanging around with your Doctor Who podcast mates, haven't you?
Well, what if I have been? We never said this was exclusive.
Well, it's just that I thought we had something special.
Nah.
Now listen, Alan's had another totally different, amazing idea for the Christmas play. It should be a romance. It should start with a rugged, handsome hero saving a damsel in distress. As he strides across the wastelands of Hampshire, he sees the woman who loves him waiting, sitting on a rock, pining, just next to the A34.
Oh, yes. Oh, very good. Yes, I can see it now. She sees him, rushes towards him, her arms outstretched. He takes her in his arms and she swoons. Don't worry, my darling. I'm here now. Of course, I'll play the hero. You?
Why not me?
Well, I mean, no offence, but you're not exactly the Clark Gable type, are you? I can't see you running across a moor in a frilly shirt. Anyway, I'm not sure anyone would buy it. It's not really plausible. You can't move for damsels in distress around here, leaning out of their castles, swishing their hair all over the place. You great fool.
Anyway, Alan's got to nip to the post office. These competition prizes aren't going to post themselves, you know. TTFN!
Okay, let's start again. Dramatis personae. Dram blinking atis per blooming sone. Right, that's it. I've had enough. Right, I don't care what you're selling, you can take it and shove it right up.
Good evening, Mr. Whitmore.
Not for you, it's not, Mark. Trick or treat was 6 weeks ago.
Sorry, Mr. Whitmore. I only called round to see how you're getting on with the Christmas sketch.
I'd be getting a darn sight better if you'd just leave me alone.
Stop picking on me. I've driven a long way to come and see you. You'll never guess how far.
What do I care how far you've driven?
You'll never guess. Go on, have a guess.
I don't know, 20 miles.
More?
What, more than 20? 50.
More.
100?
No, don't be silly. I'm not made of money, you know.
Oh, well, 75.
No, nowhere near.
Look, I haven't got time to be standing around here with you chatting numbers. Are you going to tell me how far you drove or not?
65.8 miles.
How am I supposed to guess at 65.8 miles, you great lump?
Ooh, aren't you a grumpy groundhog this evening?
Well, how would you feel if every time you tried to get on with a bit of work, some hobbledehoy stuck his beak in? You don't know how fragile the creative process is.
That's a bit rich coming from you. You're no Stephen Moffat yourself, are you? The most sophisticated thing you ever wrote started, "There once was a man from Nantucket."
If you're not going to say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Here, have a mince pie. Fill your cake hole up for a few minutes.
No, keep them away. I don't like them. They're all licky. I don't like mincemeat. Don't make me eat it or I'll tell Mum. Wait, oh look, it started snowing. I'm going to go and write Moodle in the snow.
Right. Dramatis personae. Oh, I'll never get this done. It's getting late. I'll just have a quick nap. 40 winks and I'll get right back on it. Yeah, right back on it. Right back.
Wake up, Tony!
Huh? What the f-
Shh! Come with me!
Sure, a very pale guy with a carrot for a nose, coal for eyes, my granddad's old scarf round his neck, and very cold fingers appears in my house and asks me to come with him. Why wouldn't I?
Come on!
Yeah, might as well.
Take my hand, we're going to fly!
I'm not Mark Shuttleworth. I can't just close my eyes, wish for a plane, and one appears.
No, have faith in me. Take my hand and run.
Anything else I should do? Flap my arms, perhaps? Or put my underpants over my tights?
You're wearing tights?
Shush. So anyway, this flying thing...
Just run! Come on, faster! Faster!
I don't believe it. I'm flying. I am actually flying. This is brilliant.
Keep holding my hand. Let's go.
How long are we going to be flying? It's not exactly warm up here.
Look, below you!
That's amazing! A whole new landscape. I don't recognise it at all. It looks strange, though. There's something distinctly odd about it.
Let's land!
Look over there. It's a pig. But why is it all blocky?
We're in the land of Minecraftia.
Never heard of it.
It's a magical land where people with too much time on their hands and social problems can make low-resolution buildings and populate them with low-resolution animals and zombies.
Well, this pig certainly seems to be friendly.
Ah, hello there. Welcome to Minecraft here.
A talking pig?
Yeah, to be sure. It's grand to see you. Will you be stopping long?
Maybe.
Don't speak too soon. Look out!
Are they zombies?
Yep.
Seriously, zombies. Oh god, they've got hold of the pig.
How many charms?
Look out, they're coming for us now.
When I say run, run!
But they're all around us, there's nowhere to run to.
No, true. It's just that I've always wanted to say that.
Here they come. Oh, my God, this is it. We are definitely going to die. Kiss me, Snowy.
You do choose your moment, don't you?
Wait, it's all gone dark. Where did they go?
Java seg faulted. Suppose we better get you home.
Right, it's done. There it is. The Ubuntu UK podcast Christmas sketch.
Let Alan look. Oh dear, my part is rather small.
What's this weird bit in the middle where you go off with a snowman?
You know that bit in Life of Brian where he goes into the spaceship and it's all a bit weird and slightly out of place and doesn't really drive the narrative on at all and just seems to be there to fill time?
Yes, why?
No reason.
Sorry, this is just not good enough. It won't stretch me at all. Alan's got much more to give.
And you've left my song out. I've been practising it weeks. And stealing milk cans for months.
Right, I've had enough of you lot and your demands. Maybe I'll just walk out and leave you to it.
No, don't do that. You know what happened last time? Remember the emails we got?
The passive-aggressive emails.
Some of them weren't that passive.
We can't cause that many people to be mildly discomforted again.
Look, it's either this, or we do a quiz with the Linux Outlaws.
We'll do your sketch.
Yeah, okay, yeah, brilliant.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay.
That's better. We so rarely get a chance to celebrate, but this time we must. It is Christmas.
Looky here! Alan's got some champagne!
Here's a toast! A happy Christmas to us all!
And incidentally, a happy Christmas to all of you at home.
Now it's time for a Christmas bit about Ubuntu.
How's it a Christmas bit about Ubuntu?
Because it's the last one before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
We can put some tinsel and holly on it if you like.
Ooh, go on.
Launchpad users can now request builds of their software for ARM devices.
This is good. Previously it was reserved, the ARM builders were reserved for Canonical people, building private projects and stuff like that. But now it's all available for community under certain limitations. And the limitations are there because we've got a limited amount of ARM hardware to build on. So
so the limitations are your build takes less than 4 hours to build and less than 10 builds a week. I think that should be fewer.
Oh, for goodness sake.
I didn't write that.
Yeah, no.
It's a wiki though, Tony. You could edit it and fix it.
Okay, I'll just do that now.
Expected to be done by the end of the show.
Okay.
Ubuntu One users can now view all photos in their account as an online gallery through the updated Ubuntu One web interface.
What do you think of this, Tony, resident photo-liking person?
Are any of your photos on Ubuntu One?
Yes.
Ah.
I had a quick look at the photo interface just before the show, actually, and it's quite nice. It's not a million miles away from the Dropbox equivalent, sort of an online gallery. It just sorts through your photos based on which folder they're in within your Ubuntu One folder. And there's a slideshow feature as well, although that was a bit slow loading big images because it downloads the image, then it shows it. But actually, once it had been around the album or the collection once, it was quicker the second time.
How does it know what a photo is? I know that sounds like a stupid question.
I don't know.
Is it only do certain folders called photos or something?
No,
like that?
I guess it looks at the one type of all of the files in your account.
Presumably. So screenshots count as photos, and
I thought so. Yes,
right.
Isn't that a bit scary?
Well, potentially, I guess, depending on what you're storing.
Why?
You could just put any old photos in there. You don't necessarily want them on galleries.
No, they're not public.
Right. You just view them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yes, no, it's nice. It's a nice interface.
Can you make them public?
You can share files using Ubuntu One.
Yes. Okay, then. Cool.
I don't know if you can make the actual galleries public, if that's what you're
asking. Yeah, sorry, that's what I was alluding to.
Oh, God.
Scared the living daylights out of me.
Was
that amusing Party Popper, was it?
That makes it Christmas.
So much more Christmassy now.
It's a Christmas bit about
Ubuntu. Now that my heart has stopped.
Thanks for the warning, Laura.
Well, it wouldn't have been a Christmas surprise, would it?
Couldn't wait till the end.
Wow.
I've got more.
Oh, God.
Oh, good.
Well, look out for those.
Your turn, Tony.
Daniel Holbach, Community Development Liaison, has created a PPA for installing the Ubuntu Advocacy Development Kit. Ooh, lots of long words in that. A package of materials for loco teams and other enthusiasts looking to promote Ubuntu.
That's rather cool.
Mm. Yeah. So what's in this kit?
That's an excellent question. I have no idea.
Okay.
What's in it?
Why don't you install it on your laptop and find out?
Yes.
Jono's done a blog post about it. I don't know where he was when he did it.
Kind.
It's an ebook and there's a PDF version and it's guidance about
advocating documentation that you can have on your local machine.
Yes. Mm. And I guess by having it in a PPA, if the documentation is updated in a central thing, you get a notification that there's an update available for
awesome.
It. Yeah, it's a good idea.
Elizabeth Crumback has blogged about restarting the Ubuntu Learning Project.
Yes, it's been kind of on the back burner for a while, but she's kicking it off again, and hopefully get a few people involved in order to create some learning materials based around Ubuntu.
Yeah, so there's a link. I guess we'll put that in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
where you can find out more if you want to get involved.
Yeah, it's not that they're writing documentation. But I think there's a mistake that people think they're just rewriting all the documentation. They're writing specifically very targeted training material, and they've got some guidelines for creating well targeted training material.
Right,
which
so it's training on using Ubuntu, not learning materials in general made
exactly.
Using Ubuntu.
Right, and they've got all kinds of stuff like lesson plans, learning objectives, and all that kind of stuff that needs to be that goes along with it, rather than just a document that says here's how you install software.
Sort of stuff you could use for a certification program. Or something
that kind
like
of thing.
That.
Yeah.
So is good. It necessarily targeted at young people?
I don't know, actually. I don't think so.
Okay.
But I would need to know more by reading the blog post. And I suggest you do that too.
Well, touche.
And everyone's favourite grandfather of free software, Richard Stallman, has set the Linux community alight with debate over accusations that Ubuntu now distributes spyware in the form of its Amazon shopping search. So what's Canonical up to? The evil people sort themselves out.
Yeah, he's a bit late to the party with this one, isn't he? It's caused a bit of a ruckus, and there's been lots of people saying lots of things, and I think there's plenty of links that you can read yourself and form your own opinion.
He does say one particularly ridiculous thing, that it's a problem because it's on by default, but even if it's off by default, that wouldn't be good enough. You should ask people every time they do a search, which just goes to show that he doesn't really know much about computer usability.
Yeah, it's kind of frustrating, especially when the conclusion is that we should shun Ubuntu and we should never advocate the use of it at Linux user groups and that kind of stuff. And that's kind of frustrating, really, to be honest.
But was it RMS approved in the first place? I thought that he was already very critical of it and wouldn't advise people to use it.
I don't think he's ever publicly said anything like this before about the shopping lens. I think the EFF gave a position statement, an evaluation of it, and the FSF have as well, but not RMS specifically. But now he has. I think it's kind of upped the game a little bit.
And there was a couple of blog posts with Jono back and forth, and
and then there've been
posturing and recanting, and
lots of journalists have written articles, and there's a lot of comment. It's yet another one of those lengthy discussion things that happen online when we do something. It's somewhat depressing, really, given his position in the free software movement, say shunning Canonical and Ubuntu, and. We'll have to see how it pans out.
Future versions of Linux will no longer support the i386 architecture. I remember when all this was punch cards processor architecture. And the processor for which Linux was first developed.
Oh, yes.
The 386. Later iterations of the x86 architecture will be supported. So 486, SX and onwards, I believe. Because they still make those.
Yeah, they're used in embedded machines, aren't they?
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And the AMD Geode is a 486-ish thing as well, the thing that was in the Viglin.
Yes.
Yeah.
The MPCL.
Yeah.
Right, which hasn't been available for
a while. No, but in embedded arenas, that kind of low-power, small x86-compatible thing is still quite popular.
Linus said he was not very sentimental about pulling the support for it, and it enables actually some changes and things to be made that have been not possible because of the continuing support for 386. So
right. Cool.
It's not just clearing stuff away. It's actually going to help make things easier in the future.
Good.
Cool. And that's the end of the bit about and not about Ubuntu for this year.
And now it's time for the feedback.
Ooh.
Brought to you by Alan Pope.
Who had his eyes shut. We've had a nice voicemail left for us.
Yeah, hi, it's Phil Thompson from Peterborough. Just trying out this strange app on my Android device that has a kind of phone handset as the iPhone, and I thought I'd test it and just say hello to you guys, and thank you very much for the podcast. I really enjoy the content and the quality is good. And sometimes I listen to it in the car and sometimes on the bike or out walking and occasionally in the bath.
Excellent. Excellent. I like the fact that he was testing an app and decided to phone us and not, you know, someone more important in his life.
See, it wasn't just lovely. Me who didn't get that.
The phone-shaped app. The
dialer.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
I didn't get that either.
Oh, okay. I feel dumb now.
Only as dumb as me.
Well, that's all right.
If you listen to the podcast in the bath, why not email in?
But no pictures, no pictures.
We can do Alan's deep bath feature.
We had another nice voicemail, but I think the caller kept turning away from the phone because after the first few words in each sentence, it wasn't possible to hear what they said. So please speak clearly into the phone.
Enunciate your vowel.
Hi there, just calling from the Isle of Man. Really enjoy the podcast. I'm an Ubuntuist, been one for many years. I just listened to the podcast now. I'm not sure what number it is. Season 5, episode 21. Going really well. Really enjoy the crowdfunding kind of spiel.
I could hear us in the background. Yes. That was somewhat weird.
It's kind of like a live director's commentary. He was listening to the episode.
Excellent.
Telling us what he thought of it.
This is the bit where Alan says, here's the news.
And it did actually come out better than we thought.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of processing magic on it.
Thank you very much for your feedback. It's
very nice to get that.
Feedback from the Isle of Man.
Yeah,
indeed. Who knew they had phones over there?
Why am I doing all of these? Bill Baker emailed to say,
part of community is, to my mind, the need and ability to pass on thanks and praise. This weekend, I had a major fail. Fortunately, I was on IRC at the time. I didn't time the response, but wow! On Ubuntu UK IRC channel, the problem was easily resolved by two members, and they only took seconds to do so. I think one of the responders was some bloke with a coded IRC nick, Popey, or something like that. The other was Penguin42. May I take this time to say a big thank you. Drinks owed somewhere, I think, or tea and cake, if preferred.
Oh, yes.
That's nice.
We do get a fair number of like random questions in the Ubuntu UK IRC channel. It's not officially a support channel. Yeah, the official support channel is Hash Ubuntu.
But good luck if you want to try and get a word in edgeways.
We generally don't kick people out if they've got a support question. So, it's quite
That's
nice.
That's where I always go.
Yeah. Thanks very much. Thanks, Bill.
Stephen Kellett emailed us about our discussion last episode when someone from UTC plus 13 time zone contacted us about getting Ubuntu support, and we guessed him to be from Hawaii.
Big mistake.
Well, I didn't actually guess that. I'll come back to that in a minute.
So, apparently, Hawaii and Alaska are US states and are not in UTC 13. I think they're 9 and 10. Mm-hmm. Since the international dateline jags a little, the three possible island nations that your correspondent could have hailed from include Tokelau, the independent state of Samoa, and Kiribati. And a big part of why it's hard to find help in the Pacific region is that the Secretariat of the Pacific Community, which is a regional intergovernmental body that works on technical matters, they push very, very hard for standardisation across the Pacific in computing along the traditional Windows alignment. It was considered bizarre and otherworldly when I showed up with my MacBook in late 2006 in American Samoa. macOS is virtually unknown outside major Commonwealth realms like Australia and New Zealand. As for Linux on the desktop, there are probably rare fish out there that are more easily spotted. So Hawaii is about 3,000 miles away from all three islands, so help from them is a non-starter. In terms of regional travel, the closest hubs would be Nadi in Fiji and Sydney in Australia. Communication links out there are very messy and broadband links are quite poor, if at all.
Well, so what I actually said was that I looked at where in the world were UTC plus 13 and looked at what places might be sort of on IRC at the same sort of time of day. I didn't actually think that Alaska and Hawaii were UTC 13. Just to
thank you very much for the the geography.
That's actually there.
Well, I thought it was going to be the copy and paste of a Wikipedia article to start with. That actually, there's a good point about isolated
really quite interesting.
And how it can be supported, or how they can be supported effectively. Can they indeed? And thanks, Stephen sent a lot of emails and messages in to us over this season. So thank you for that, Stephen.
Yes, thank you.
And that is the end of your feedback. That That's all for this episode, and indeed this season of the Ubuntu UK podcast. So thank you for listening. You can find out how to get in touch with us on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org, where you can find our voicemail numbers and Twitter feed, Facebook and Google Plus pages, and our IRC channel. Let us know what you think of the show and give us your thoughts about Ubuntu and the community that makes it. Join us when and if, it says here, we come back next year.
Ooh, yes.
There we go.
We haven't had the curry yet, so...
Yeah, well, we only decide when we have a curry whether we're going to do this.
Yes, and I've got to move house before we do that.
Yes. That's true. And we don't have the curry till January, at least. So
I'm away for a week in January, so we're not having it then.
Should we arrange this off air?
No, it's very important that they hear about this. This vital part of our logistics.
Well, before we wrap up this season, Laura, have you got any more loud explosions you wish to make?
Oh, yes. One second.
Oh, hang on. I've got
one. Talk
on
yourself.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear. It seems like barely yesterday we were sitting down to start the beginning of this season, or even this episode.
Oh, hello, we've got one each.
Don't throw things at me, Laura.
Get in his eye.
Just throw it. Oh, I caught it. Ow!
Oh, everyone fire them at Tony.
Love the smell of these things.
Oh, great. Oh. Oh, it's like a party in here.
And everyone's invited.
Right. Oh, Laura's using up all the party poppers.
Look, the cats have run off. We should have thought about this earlier in the season.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe we'll bring it next year.
It's Christmas.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Laura, Mark, Alan. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Oh, thank you
year.
For having us, Tony.
Well, that's not what I
thanks
meant.
Thanks for the tea and cake.
Yeah, it's been good fun. I've enjoyed
thanks
the
for
season.
Coming all this way.
Yeah.
65.8 miles.
Oh, dear. Well... I guess that's it, really. Thank you very much, everybody. We'll see...
I can go now.
Yes, Alan's off now.
Alan's leaving.
Merry
TTFN.
Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye.